The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And I'd like for us to really be focusing on some of the changes that are taking place in the world. Because if you look and you see the financial changes, the military changes, the geopolitical changes, the changes with oil. I mean, my goodness, who would have thought oil prices would be down like they are right now and gas prices would be down? There's things happening in this world that we don't have all the information, but there are things happening behind the scenes that are setting a stage for other things to take place. Therefore, I'm talking to you this morning and about the kind of change that we need in our lives to sustain us as things change around us. Because it's very important that we as believers recognize that we have power. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's power in your life. Power to be a witness, power to overcome, power to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we need to understand that. And those who are not filled with the Spirit of God, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm talking about fullness of the Spirit. There's a difference. You receive Christ as your personal Savior, you come into the kingdom, and you have the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you, you need more. You need the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit that will stir you up. The fullness of the Spirit that will cause you to have the fire. John the Baptist said about Jesus, he said that I'm here to baptize you with water, but the one that's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we need to have that fire in our lives, but I can tell you this also, that as believers in Christ, we sometimes allow that fire to die down. My daughter Beth and Brady have a fireplace, and if you don't take care of that fire and stoke that fire, put some wood on that fire from time to time, it'll just go out eventually. Doesn't take much sometimes if there's embers in there to get it started back up. And I think sometimes with us, those of us who are filled with the Spirit, we sometimes need to stoke that fire. It needs to be stirred up. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about stirring that fire up. And if you're not filled with the Spirit and you don't understand it, you think, well, I don't need that. The truth is, Jesus Christ wouldn't have offered it to us if we didn't need it. It's for everyone. You know, my children sometimes, and we're all children of God if we're born again, but my children sometimes when they were growing up, they didn't always understand the good things that I had for them, or I would tell them to do something that they didn't necessarily want to do, but it was for their own good. I was trying to teach them and train them. You know, sometimes we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're kind of like the little boy that was standing on a chair and his mother said, sit down. And he just stood there and she said, sit down. And the third time she said, sit down or I'm going to spank you. He sat down, crossed his arms, stuck out his lip, and he said, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. We as believers sometimes, in regards to God, you know, we appear to be sitting down, but we're really standing up in rebellion to what he wants for us. And he still loves us. My goodness, I love my children. But sometimes they were in rebellion against me. That didn't mean I rejected them. I just took measures to make sure they did what I told them to do. And sometimes that was painful for them. More painful for some of them than others. You know, we've had different children with different personalities. Our first daughter was pretty compliant. Bethany was a little bit rebellious and defiant. So she got more spankings than the other ones. But you know what? Because I loved her. I didn't love her any less or any more than the other ones. She just took a little bit different direction in life. And praise God, look at her now. She's a beautiful mother, wonderful wife. And I'm proud to call her my daughter. Amen. And I believe that's what God looks at us. And yeah, we go through these times sometimes that we don't necessarily want to comply with what he wants. But as he disciplines and directs us, he looks at us and says, this is my son. This is my daughter. He's proud of us. He loves us. But I can tell you this, we need change in our lives. We need change from the inside. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives. So first thing I want to talk about this morning, I want to look at the kind of change. The first thing is to be filled with the Spirit. Because I believe that it is necessary that the body of Christ be an army that is what we read, what we sang this morning, an army is rising up. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to be about the Father's business. Yes, sir. We need to be stirred. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. You see it on the screen? Acts chapter 1, 1 through 4, or 4 through 8. All right, let's read that real quick. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now listen, Jesus said this is the promise of the Father. In other places, it's called the gift. This is what God Almighty had promised to his church, that he was going to put this Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, inside of each and every one of us. A fullness of that Spirit, and baptize us with fire. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Whew, I like that. Yes. Power, dunamis, dynamite kind of power that is explosive power in your life. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, we looked at this last week, and I studied being filled with the Spirit. We went through quite a few scriptures, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this particularly. But I do want you all to know that I believe without a doubt you need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and I do believe there will be evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, does that mean that as soon as you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes that's not the case. I've seen many people that were filled with the Spirit, and later they began speaking in tongues and praying in a prayer language. That's, praise God, that's what we want to see happen, because that's evidence that you've received. But there are other evidence that you receive. The evidence of the administration of the Spirit is prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing. These things are all manifestations of the gift that is inside of you. The gift is the Holy Spirit. And the way the Holy Spirit desires to manifest himself in your life and through you is the gifts of the Spirit, or the charismas of the Spirit. And he wants to do that through each and every believer, because that's power in our lives. to be able to recognize and to know, to have discernment when we need discernment, to have a word of knowledge when we need a word of knowledge, to have wisdom when we need wisdom in a particular situation. And it's not worldly wisdom, it's God-given wisdom.
That's right. That's right, sir.
To be able to operate with these things in our life daily. Listen, we sometimes like to put those gifts in operation in the church, and praise God, I'm glad they are operating in the body, because, you know, Corinthians tells us that they are supposed to operate in the body of Christ. When we come together, praise God, we have those giftings operating among us. However, the most powerful place for us to operate in these things is outside of the body, in the world, wherever we go, whatever we're doing. If you've ever had an experience where you needed some knowledge about something and you asked God and suddenly he imparted that knowledge to you about what needed to be done and how you needed to do it, praise God. You know, he spoke some knowledge to you, or you needed wisdom how to operate in a particular situation. How many have ever asked God for wisdom for something? Believe it or not, if I'm doing something and I am just confounded, I don't know what to do. Usually it's when I'm working on a car, because I'm not a mechanic, but I like to try to do my own work, saves a lot of money. So sometimes I'm just absolutely, I don't understand what I need to do. So I have to ask God to give me the wisdom to be able to handle this, to know what needs to be done. And God has never failed me. He either imparts it to me or he directs me to somebody else that has the knowledge to be able to handle it. This is an awesome God we serve.
Yes, yes, yes.
He wants to walk with you every day of your life. Wherever you go, in the fullness of your life, whoever you come in contact with, he wants you to be able to impart things into people's lives. And listen to me, you don't have to be the kind of person that runs up to somebody and says, God told me this, because that'll freak people out. God said this, or God, no, you let God give you the direction. You let God allow you. He uses your personality. You know, if you're the kind of person that's bold like that, go for it. Most of us are not. But God wants to use your personality to be able to minister to other people and to speak into people's lives. And he wants you full of spirit. How many know who Robert Morse is? Have you ever listened to Robert Morse? Several of you have. Robert Morse was a good Southern Baptist boy and minister. I'm not sure if he was minister. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was ministering before he was filled with the Spirit. But he heard about being filled with the Spirit. He and James Robinson, both about the same time. Good Southern Baptists, good solid doctrine in their lives, but they were not filled with the Spirit of God. Filled up. And they heard about this, and they started to check it out, started learning about it, and became filled with the Spirit, and were set free from some bondage that was in their lives. Right now, Robert Morris is pastoring Gateway Church in Texas, not very far from our daughter's house in Grapevine. And he pastors thousands of people. And he's teaching them about being filled with the Spirit. He's teaching them about deliverance. He's teaching them about the goodness of God and the power of God. God wants you to have that same power in your life. He wants you filled up. Now listen to me. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Go back to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Now, some people say to me, well, I got the Holy Spirit, and that's all the Holy Spirit I need. I want to show you what Jesus said about that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? How many of you will give something evil to your children if they ask you for something? Nah, not unless you're a horrible parent, and I know most of you in here, and don't believe you're horrible parents. Well, you love your children, and you have loved your children, so when they ask for something, you did your best, if it was good for them, to give it to them. If you then, being evil, now I'm not calling you evil, Jesus called you evil, called us all evil. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more would he give it to you? He wants to fill you up with that Spirit if you ask him for it. All you have to do is desire, ask, and receive. It's not that difficult. I know in the past we've made it horribly difficult. I was at a meeting one time. A young lady, I don't know if I shared this with you last week or not, I don't remember, but I was at a meeting one time when it was a very Pentecostal church, and I mean very Pentecostal, and this young lady at the end of the service, this young lady wanted to be filled with the Spirit. She went forward, and for about 45 minutes, they prayed and beat on this young lady. Yeah, and when I say beat on her, I mean they were laying hands on her and, you know, and all that kind of stuff and praying and trying to get her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, we sometimes make this real difficult. Well, when it was all over with, they came to the conclusion that she had never been water baptized, so she couldn't be filled with the Spirit. Evidently, they hadn't read that situation where Peter went and ministered and the Holy Spirit fell upon them before they were baptized. We put chains on God sometimes, and restrictions. But the reason that all that occurred is because of the humanness in us, thinking that things have to be a lot more difficult than they really are. Salvation is real easy. It's real simple. Being filled with the Spirit is real simple. Ask and receive. But you got to really desire it. It's not like, salvation is the same way. If you are seeking after God, chasing after God, you'll find salvation. But if you're flippantly just, someone said, say this prayer, I'm not so sure about that. You know, I think you really have to desire it and understand it. And being filled with the Spirit is the same way. I can't force you to be filled with the Spirit. My desire is that every person sitting in here is filled with the Spirit. But I don't care how many times I call you up. I can personally point you out, say, come up here. And if you're not into it, you're not going to get it. You're not going to receive something that you don't want. So this is an important part of this. If you ask, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? All right, the second thing I want to talk about this morning is continue to be filled with the Spirit. Now I explain this as we go. Ephesians 5. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Give me just a second here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18. Writer of Ephesians says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, which is excess. Don't be excessive and become drunk. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, it seems kind of strange, doesn't it, that the writer here would tell us or compare being drunk with wine with being filled with the Spirit. If you see some guy walking down the street under the influence, and I'm sure we've all seen that, or you've been in a room, or you've been there yourself. You're right, back in the day, back before the redemption. But you understand what being drunk, I mean really drunk, and that's what he's talking about, excessively drunk, under the influence, staggering around, unable to control yourself. Your emotions, your physical abilities are all out of control. Your mind is out of control. And he's comparing that with being filled with the Spirit. That seems kind of incredible to me, but he's saying to us, listen, if you understand how to be excessive in drinking, you need to understand even more how to be excessive in receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow that Spirit to lead and guide and direct you. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he does not control us like alcohol would control us, or a demon would try to control people. He leads us and directs us. But as he leads and directs, I want to tell you, it'll appear to other people that you're excessive in your following of Jesus Christ. The world will not understand. If the world embraces you, there is something wrong. The only people in the world that should be embracing you are those who are seeking themselves. Then they'll come to the realization. I'm amazed sometimes at how some of these, some of our televangelists are interviewed on television, and it seems like the world is their friend. They just accept everything that they say, and they twist and distort some of the things that they're saying. They're trying to get out of calling sin, sin publicly. I'm not condemning these men. I know that they're trying their best to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we just have to say, wait a minute. If you're walking in sin and you haven't repented of that sin, you're headed to hell. Amen. There isn't any other way around it. Now, I can sugarcoat that and make it sound a lot better. Well, maybe I can't, but other people can. And make it sound a whole lot better. But the reality is, there is one way. If you repent of your sins and receive Christ as your personal Savior, hallelujah, you're in. If you don't, you're out. I want to be in. We're all here because we want to be in. And we have a desire to seek after the things of God. So, being filled with the Spirit. Now, what he's saying here, in the Greek, this actually refers to continually being filled with the Spirit. And really, the reality is that it's not necessarily talking about continually being filled with the Spirit, but it's talking about stirring up the Spirit that is inside of you. If you've been filled with the Spirit, if you're not careful, you'll let that thing go dormant. I know people who are in good churches. However, those good churches are not preaching and teaching and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Those people that are in that, many of them are in those kind of churches, are Spirit-filled. But they've allowed that Spirit to just go dormant in their life, the power of it. They're not stirring it up. And I want to teach you this morning how we stir that thing up inside of us. Because it's important that we stir it up. You know, I like honey. I use a little bit of honey in my tea sometimes, and as a sweetener here and there. But you know, if I leave the honey set around for a while, it separates. It starts getting crystallized. But I found a solution. Put it in the microwave. Pull it out. Stir it up. It's good as it ever was. Doesn't hurt it at all. We're getting crystallized, I think, in the body of Christ. We've got this crystal coating over top of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need just a little bit of heat, and that's what I'm applying this morning. Just a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
We need a little bit of heat, and then we need to stir it.
Yeah.
Stir it up real good.
That's good.
And it'll be just as sweet as ever.
Yes.
Just as sweet as ever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to continue to be filled. And how are we going to do that? Look at Ephesians. Let's see, we were just reading 5. We read through 18. Jump down to over to verse 19, because it says, "Speaking." He's talking. Here he is. He's saying, "Here's how you're going to keep this stirred up." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe one of the ways that we keep the Holy Spirit stirred up inside of us is through dynamic worship. And we have dynamic worship here at Bethel Worship Center. Thank God for that. But listen, that's not the only place that you should be stirring up your spirit in worship. I don't care. Maybe you don't particularly like the type of music that we have here. You know, that's very possible. I know some people like Southern gospel, some people like country gospel. I mean, there's all kinds of good music out there. I don't believe God likes one kind of music. God loves worship. And he loves those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So whoever you are and whatever your taste is, if you've never experienced dynamic worship, the kind of worship where you are in the spirit before Almighty God, you weep, you just know that God is all over you, all around you, all in you, everywhere. If you've never experienced that, I'm going to tell you, get the kind of music that'll cause you to experience that. Get alone. Be alone with God and worship him and get that experience. You need that. It'll stir you up. And you need to continue to have that in your life. I get that on Sunday mornings. I get that by listening to the type of music that I like to listen to and being alone. But I can tell you this, you'll not be able to come in here on Sunday mornings and suddenly be able to manifest that kind of worship. You have to be stirring it up inside of you. Stirring it up, coming into the presence of God. Hallelujah. David was a great worshiper of God. The King David. He loved to worship God. In Psalms 104, verse 33, it says, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." David understood worship. He was a great psalmist. He wrote many, many psalms, songs to the Lord. And worshiped God abundantly. David loved worshiping God so much that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he got so excited worshiping God that he danced right out of his clothes. Made some religious people really upset. Praise God. I can't imagine what would happen if I danced out of my clothes up here. It's not going to happen. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that is not going to happen. But it wasn't about David. That's why. He wasn't self-conscious about what he was doing to please anybody else. It was pleasing God. And God was so excited that David worshiped him in that way. And very pleased with that kind of worship. Because he worshiped him in spirit and in truth. So that kind of worship has to flow out of us. But I can tell you this, you've got to stir it up. You've got to stir it. Okay. Dynamic worship, important stuff. Meditate on the Word of God. Now listen, we're talking about things that will stir up the Spirit inside of you, that will keep you full of the Spirit. And meditating on the Word of God is so very important. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." How many of us want prosperity and success in our life? Boy, Joshua just gave us a very simple formula. Meditate on the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says. Understand the Word of God. Now, that word meditate, there's more to it than just, you know, we think about meditation, we think about the guru sitting around with his arms and legs crossed and sitting and, you know, doing this meditation. That's not what he's talking about. The meditation here, he's talking about, it's a voicing or a murmuring of the Word. It's a manifestation of our voice when it comes to the Word of God. It's claiming and believing this Word. When I read this Joshua scripture, it's an understanding that I'm going to proclaim that every day of my life. Because I'm not only do I know what that Word says, but I'm meditating on it by bringing it up. It's the power of the spoken Word. We know that God created everything that we know. And that knowledge is increasing about the things that are in the universe. God created it by speaking it into existence. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Somebody help me. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word. Okay. And it says that he was the Word. Jesus is the Word. And he became flesh, on verse 14, and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. That Word became flesh and then began to speak the Word of God. If you go back and you look in the Scripture, you will see that Jesus, when he laid hands to heal somebody, he spoke healing. When he cast out a devil, he spoke it, get begone. He spoke those things because there was power manifest in the Word of God as he meditated or as he spoke it out. There's power in the spoken Word. That's why it's very important that when I think about meditating, yeah, we want to read it and think about it, understand it, but do more than that. Speak it out. Let it come out of your lips. Because there's power in that. That's something that will stir up your spirit. When you need to know whether God wants to prosper you or not, speak this Word. You need to know whether God wants to heal you or not. You know that the Word of God says that whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You see, we're going to know what the Word of God says about these particular situations in our life. Meditate. The third thing is pray in the Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to stir up that Spirit inside of you. In Jude 1:20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. Allow that Spirit to pray. Speak it. Stir it up. Listen, it will go dormant in your life unless you stir it. You've got to use these things to stir it up. Stir it inside of you. And praying in the Holy Spirit stirs up that. I can't tell you how many times that if I feel depressed, down by, you know, overcome by the enemy, if I just pray in the Spirit, it lifts me up. Because I know what the Word of God says, that I'm communicating directly with Almighty God. The enemy can't stop it. Man, he wants to. He would love to get into that and put a stop to it, but he cannot stop it. It's the power of God flowing through me to God and from God to me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians chapter 14. This is, and I'm going to read all this because it's so good for us to understand what God desires for us and how he desires us to have this gift in our lives. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I don't know about some of you, but in churches that I've been in the past, growing up, most of the time they stayed away from this scripture. But if you heard anything about it, if they read it to you and preached on it, it was more like, don't desire spiritual gifts and stay away from prophecy. Has anybody been there? Come on. And when the word, when I started studying this and found out for myself that it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Well, that's not what I was taught. Yeah, pursue love. But they said, stay away from those spiritual gifts and prophecy and all that tongue stuff because that'll split a church. You know, the power of God has never split a church. Yes. People split churches.
That's right.
The power of God builds up and builds the church. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Wait a minute, I missed the verse there. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing. You're speaking mysteries when you're praying in the spirit. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to you, but God knows what it is. That's your spirit communicating directly with Almighty God. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Tongues is important. It edifies you. Prophecy is important because it edifies the church. Everybody knows what's going on. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. What? What did Paul just say? He wanted all of us to speak in tongues? That's incredible. I want you all to speak in tongues. And even more, I want you to prophesy. Hallelujah. Come on, people. I know some of you grew up in churches just like I did. They never taught this stuff. They stayed away from it, or they said, don't do it. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. First of all, he's not forbidding you to pray in the spirit in the congregation, but he is saying, if that's all you ever did, when you come together, if that's all we ever do, there's something wrong. Because we need to speak with tongues and interpretations. We need to speak with prophetic utterance so that everyone can be edified and built up. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? That's what he's saying here. You can't just do that. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they are made sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? For likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Therefore, it may be so many kinds of languages in the world, none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Seek to excel. Stir yourself up in the spirit. So that you seek to excel to edifying the church.
Yes, that's right.
So that you will manifest, you will have the manifestation of the gifts in your life that will build up the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Otherwise, what is the conclusion then? Listen to Paul. What is the conclusion? This is Paul's words. Pastor Rob's not making this up. Read it for yourself. Paul comes to this conclusion. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. He's not forbidding you to pray in the Spirit in the congregation. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Spiritual songs. I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? If that's all you ever do is pray in the Spirit, you're missing it.
Amen.
I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. This man, which we probably consider one of the greatest apostles or the greatest apostle of all, told us that he thanks God he speaks with tongues more than anyone else. Yet in the church, he says, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Of course, it's best when we teach and preach the Word of God, when we speak things prophetically and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and all these things that are a part of the body of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. It's best when we do that so that everybody is lifted up. But Paul himself said, I'm going to pray with the Spirit and I'm going to sing with the Spirit. I'm going to pray with my understanding and I'm going to sing with my understanding. Yet in the church, he wants us to all be edified.
Yes.
I can tell you this, I'm edified when somebody prays in the Spirit because I understand it. I know what they're doing. So it's all about edifying and building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So what are we going to do? We're going to stir up that Spirit inside of us. We're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to sing in the Spirit. We're going to meditate on the Word of God. We're going to do the things that cause the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that is inside us to be stirred up so that we can walk in the power of God in our life. In Romans 8:26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in my weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit does that on our behalf as we pray. All right. Important. Dynamic worship stirs up the Spirit in us. Meditating on the Word of God stirs up the Spirit in us. Praying in the Spirit stirs up the Spirit inside of us. And the third thing I want to talk about this morning in regards to stirring up the Spirit and being changed, remember, we're being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing is being willing to pay the price, whatever that price is, whatever it is that Christ calls you and desires for you. Turn with Matthew chapter 16. I'm about to wrap this up this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Jesus said we've got to be willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves. And basically what Jesus is saying is we got to die to ourselves. We've got to die to our own ambitions and desires. We've got to give up what we really want to see happen in our lives in order for Jesus Christ to lead us into what he wants for us. And sometimes it's even ministry. Sometimes we have an expectation of what God wants. And it's not really what God desired for us. It's what we really wanted. What we desired. Three weeks ago that we had Bill and Patricia here. And we're talking about going to the mission field. Man, you know, God called them to the mission field late in life. And she said that when they decided to go, she had a grandchild. It was young. I don't know exactly how old he was, but a little boy that lived very close to her. And she said, as they were planning and preparing to go, one day he was at her house and he was in bed with her and he took her hands, her face in his hands, and he looked at her and he said, Mama, how can you leave me? Ah, that would kill me. But she had to explain to him that, you know, God had called her to do this. And she was going to fulfill a calling that God had placed in her life. Man, that's dying to self. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I don't want to be the pastor of Bethel Worship Center, because I do. I enjoy being the pastor of Bethel Worship Center and what God has called me to. But it was not my design for my life. I had other plans, other things. I have never been fulfilled by being in front of people. In fact, it was the last thing I ever wanted to do. I would rather not do that kind of thing. However, it became very obvious in my life that I had to lay down my desires to do what God wanted. And I'm still trying to lay down my desires regularly to stay in God's will and accomplish what God wants for my life. All I'm telling you this morning is that Jesus has a plan for your life. But I can tell you this, that plan includes you crucifying your flesh to do what he wants, not what you want. Be prepared. Be prepared for things to get uncomfortable. Be prepared for your life to take a different change or a different avenue. If you're going to be changed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to know that there's going to be changes in the way, the direction, and the way you walk. And sometimes it's going to be something totally different than you expected. I believe we're looking for that. I believe we're looking for that here at Bethel Worship Center. I believe each and every one of you is looking for God's ultimate will in your life. Just listen. Listen. He'll give you direction. Stand with me this morning. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.